Hello and welcome to the second in our series concerning the life of Christ. Stay tuned for our program. Reading in Luke 1, verse number 26, it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." Now, it's interesting in this chapter, if you look through, the angel Gabriel has come, and he has spoken to Zacharias, telling him that his wife will have a miracle baby. That will be John the Baptist. And now he comes 6 months later, and he talks to Mary, and here is another miracle child. And, of course, this is Mary, the mother of Jesus, and she is a virgin. Now, it says in verse 28, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." Now, remember, in the Jewish economy at that time, the young people got married at 14, 15 years of age. She was very young. And it says in 29, "And when she saw him, she was troubled." That's an interesting word in the Greek. It's only found here. It means she was very perplexed at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David." The angel continued, saying in verse 33, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Interesting that all of this information has been given to this young girl about the political aspect of Christ coming into this world. Well, 34 says, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And in verse 38, after he had explained it to her, Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Now, that's interesting. Her life is going to be an upheaval for the rest of her life. Nothing will be normal. She's going to be accused of being immoral. She's going to have a hard life as a result of this. But here's this young girl, 14, maybe 15 years of age, and this is what she says, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." In verse 35, we read, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." I've always wondered why this word is in here, "that holy thing." Well, I did a little research on it and found that in the New Testament, that word "thing" has been translated "holy one" 4 times. And every time it's referring to Christ. And if you count how many times you find the Holy One in the Old Testament, it's over 50 times that Jesus is referred to as the Holy One of Israel. Well, it says it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Well, here's God's plan. If it's going to tax, take the taxing of the whole world to get Joseph and Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem, that's what we're going to do. Caesar Augustus thought he was so important. He was part of God's plan. He was a puppet in God's hands, and God used him to get things lined up the way he wanted them lined up. It's interesting that in Acts 27 and verse 24, we have a verse where Paul was out on that ship, you remember, and they were in a storm for a couple of weeks there. And the verse 24 says, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar." Then in Philippians 4 and 22, Paul is writing to the Philippians, and he says, "All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household." And so he had to go through that storm and a lot of storms to get there. But when he appealed to Caesar, God had a plan. And here we find that all those of Caesar's household, all kinds of people, had been led to the Lord by Paul the Apostle. Well, in Luke 2 and 1, it says, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." It says it came to pass. There's 452 verses in the Bible where you can read "it came to pass." Verse 3 says that all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. So Mary could not be left behind. She had, according to this taxation, she had to go to. And of course, this is the providence of God. Well, we see in verse 4, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." And so he traveled with Mary almost 100 miles, and she's 9 months pregnant here. This was a very hard trip. Well, it says in verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, the fact of the swaddling clothes and being in a manger, I think, has some specific lesson here for us. You read down in verse number 12, when the angels talked to the shepherds, and the shepherds came, they said, "You'll find him in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, and this will be a sign. This will be a sign unto you." I read somewhere that the swaddling clothes, that particular word means kind of way that they were dressed in royalty when a little baby came into the world. If that is so, we have royalty and we have rejection. Here he is lying in a manger. In any event, something important about that needs a little more study. We find in Luke 2 and verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." So we see the people involved in this story. We have Caesar and Serenius. That's the world setting. They're just going through the motions out there. They don't seem to know what's going on. We have the religious setting in Jerusalem with all the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests and all those boys. They have no idea what's going on. They're not even mentioned in this story. What is mentioned is the remnant, the little handful of people who really believed what the Bible had to say. And that was Joseph and Mary and the shepherds. And that was it. No one else in the world knew what was going on. God has always had a remnant. God has always had some people who are interested in what he's doing, and those are the ones he reveals his secrets to. Well, it says in Luke 2 and verse number 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Now, I guess they would be. In the middle of the night, it's dark, and all this begins to happen. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And here in verse 12 it says, "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And verse 13 says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." Now it says the angels were gone. What do we have here? We have decision time. What are you going to do now? You got the message? Are you going to do anything with it? Oh, so often we get the message, don't we? We read the Bible and we get a message from God. Or we go to church and we get a message that God is obviously speaking to us. Well, what are you going to do about it? It's decision time now. Well, they said, let's go and see which has come the pass which the Lord has made known unto us. Well, it says in verse 16, they came and they found. It says they came with haste and found Mary, then Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Then in 17, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them of the shepherds. Well, says Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I'm sure she did. She's a little young teenage girl. A lot's been happening in the last little while. She's been up to visit Elizabeth, who also was pregnant with John the Baptist. And she comes back, and who's going to believe her? And now she's with child. Joseph is talking about, should I have her stoned or should I put her away as a divorce secretly? What am I going to do with her? She travels all the way down here and has this baby. It's been quite a time for her. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days, verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, 8 days later, there is we got our little Christmas cards, and we have our little Christmas stories, and there's so much of it that's messed up that just isn't factual here. We find that, a lot of the stories, they got Mary getting up in the middle of the night and heading into Egypt. That's quite a thing if a lady can walk for 100 miles, have a baby, get up the next day and go all the way to Egypt about another 100 miles. It didn't happen that way. We read in verse 22, and when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. That is 40 days after he was born. They're still there in the area, and they come from Bethlehem. And they bring him to Jerusalem after, or according to the law of Moses. And that's very important. They're doing everything according to the law here. We get the idea sometimes that, well, Matthew begins the New Testament, that must begin the local church age. Well, it begins the transition to a new period of time, but they are still operating under the law, and that is important to understand in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as we try to learn what is being taught in those books, and for the first 7 chapters of the book of Acts as well. They are still operating under the law. It's very important. Well, it says here in verse 23, as it is written, in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Verse 24, they came as the law said to, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the man was just, he was devout. It says he's waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so it says here that he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, it says, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And so he said, I'm ready to go. I've seen the Lord now. Then in verse 31, he goes on to say, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Now, he knew something that a lot of people didn't know. He understood the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles and the function that Jesus had here in offering himself as a king of Israel, but also as the savior of both Israel and the Gentiles. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Verse 23 says, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Well, we read, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, he said, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. And it certainly does in time, you see, as we go through this story. Well, we're out of time again. Be sure and tune in again for our next broadcast as we continue our story from the cradle to the cross.